Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to Flight Plan. Tim McMaster here, along with Zach Rosenblatt, the Jets reporter at The Athletic. 1 week left in this miserable season, Zach, after the Jets 40-14 dud on Sunday in Buffalo. Wasn't that close, which is hard to say. We'll get into the four downs around this, including Aaron Rodgers' relationship with Garrett Wilson, how Tyrod Taylor works into that, all the mistakes. We're going to have to check in on the head coaching search. But the most important question of the day, Zach: how are the wings?
Oh, man, they're so good. There's a spot called Bar Bill. Anyone who's been to Buffalo, I mean, people have their debate. People have their spot that they, Duff's is like a famous spot. There's Anchor Bar. Gabriel's Gate, I've never been to. Bar Bill, to me, is the best one by far. I get the Cajun honey butter wings and their beef on weck sandwich, and it's just so good. Like, we like to go, me and Andy Vasquez, who works for NJ.com. There's different locations. There's one by the airport where we usually stay. And there's the OG one, which is like a dive bar. And the dive bar one is better. So we try to go there. Both times we went, you walk in to put your name down. And how long is the wait for two people? Oh, it'll be like two and a half hours. So, but we just wait for a bar seat, and we got lucky both times. But just so good. I eat way too much when I'm there. It's the end of the year. I'm getting ready to get married next year. We have, me and my fiance are talking about how after the new year, we're going to start eating healthy and not eating as much sweets and stuff like that. So I just kind of went all out in Buffalo, ate a lot of wings, ate a lot of beef on weck, got some candy at the hotel, just trying to really just, you know, indulge before I have to try and act like a normal, healthy human when the season ends and I start going to the gym again and all that stuff.
Time to adult. I did notice, following along on Instagram, that Connor Hughes did not make the trip to Buffalo.
Yes. And he was very upset about it because he's major FOMO.
I'm sure.
So we made sure to let him know that we enjoyed it very much. And he has this he just did this 1 year. I think he probably had some drinks in him, and he just kind of does weird things sometimes, as you know, with Connor. We were at Duff's a few years ago, and he just decided he wanted a white Russian, which is like,
ew.
Yeah.
Although it cuts the heat, maybe the milk.
Yeah, I mean, they are tasty, but it's just like such a random thing to order at. Like, if you've ever been to Duff's, it's kind of like a dive bar, like a dive sports bar. And it became like a yearly thing when we go to Buffalo, where he wants a white Russian. And we were getting ready to do it just to spite him. But then he said to me and Andy, can you guys get a white Russian for me? And that made us not want to get it anymore, because we wanted to taunt him with it. We didn't want to, do it because he wanted us to, basically. But anyway, Connor missed out on a great weekend other than the game. It was a terrible game, but great wings.
It's a terrible game. So we'll get to that. But before that, let's talk about the future a little bit. Reporting today, NFL Network, I think, was first with it. Ron Rivera going to interview with the Jets this week, and some other possibilities coming up soon too, Zach. Let's just your thoughts on Rivera, a guy who has, to some degree, won everywhere he's been. Well, he was with the Commanders, but yeah. has been successful in his career, has led teams to the playoffs, and has been around. And then there's the other guy, Rex Ryan.
Yeah, you know, I think the Jets need to interview guys like this because they have to prepare for the, not saying I think this will happen, but they have to prepare for the possibility that, you know, these other coaches don't view the Jets as the, you know, their number one choice. Or, you know, I think that, depending on what jobs open up, especially if that Patriots job opens up, which it feels like it might, that Patriots job becomes the most appealing one in the NFL. They have Drake May. They have potentially the number one overall pick, and they have a lot of cap space to improve their roster. So somebody like Mike Vrabel, who has background there, I would expect him to go to the Patriots if you're going to open that up. And I think, you know, there's jobs like the Bears. There's certain jobs that just are more appealing. So Not to say, like, I think there is some appeal to the jet stop, but they have to overcome the owner part of it, which I think is a legitimate thing. So anyway, this, to my point, they're going to interview a lot of these guys that are retreads, is the word, like guys that have had multiple head coaching jobs, are unemployed, or are an assistant coach on another staff, things like that. And it's smart to do that, because if you have to circle back and hire one of these guys, you know that Ron Rivera can lead a team. You know that Rex Ryan, to a degree, can lead a team. Out of those two, I think Jets fans can be pretty split on Rex. I'm of the mind that it would be a.
It's really been a long time since Rex.
He hasn't been a coach in the NFL for 10 years. He's spent the last decade criticizing the Jets on TV, including in recent years. Whereas Ron Rivera, he's not an exciting candidate, because it got pretty bad at the end in Washington. They made the playoffs his first year, but they were like 7-9 when they made it. Was like a really bad NFC East year. He had some success in Carolina, but again, by the end, kind of faded away. He's considered a high. He has high quality character. Everybody loves him as a human. The whole Riverboat Ron nickname, I can kind of faded as he went to Washington, and he wasn't as daring. But you know, he's a leader. He's a guy that will probably be able to hire a good staff. And if the Jets are dead set on bringing in someone with experience and someone that can create a culture, you know, that's why you look at those two kind of guys. But you know, I don't think either would make the fan base happy. It just, no, we don't know what Woody wants necessarily right now. I do think they're going to target Mike Vrabel. I don't think that he's going to be the Jets coach. I can't say that with 100% certainty, but I think he's going to prioritize if that Patriots job opens. And so, you know, who's the top target after that? Ben Johnson. I don't think he's going to come to the Jets. And so then you're down to like a guy like Brian Flores would be interesting. Liam Cohen, some of these up and coming coordinators. Do you want someone with experience? Like, then there's other options. If you're doing the unemployed route right now, like they are, like, do you talk to John Gruden? I don't know. I think I'd like him better than Rex or Ron Rivera, just in terms of the coaching part. I know there's the off the field stuff that he's dealt with, and he works for Barstool now, but you know, I'm very fascinated to see how this head coaching search goes. They've already started the GM interviews. That'll pick up steam once the season is over. And yeah, I don't know. The Ron Rivera one caught me by surprise. I didn't even consider the idea that he'd be a candidate for any of these jobs, because kind of just felt like he was going to retire maybe, or he just kind of fade and go into being a broadcaster, or I don't know, even like a defensive coordinator somewhere. But you know, this is kind of the pool that they're diving into, and I'm just very curious to see how it plays out.
I wonder if the Patriots kind of test the water and only move on from Mayo if Vrabel is willing to come on, just because I know, you know, Vrabel would be a home run hire just from the hiring standpoint with the Patriots because of what he did there as a player. Whereas I don't know, if you look at other potential coaches, I don't know if the fan bases would jump on board as much as they would with Vrabel, but we'll see.
I mean, I think Vrabel is quite clearly the overwhelming candidate that the Jets want.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was talking with our Patriots writer at The Athletic, Chad Graff, about this, because the Patriots made a mistake not hiring Vrabel, but so did the Jets. Like, we've talked about the
Patriots made the mistake of preemptively having Mayo there and not thinking
Vrabel was such an obvious
available.
And he obviously would have been happy to go there. He's beloved there. He was just honored in the Ring of Honor. But like, the Jets sticking with Sala is going to be one of the ultimate what ifs in this organization's history, because number one, I don't think they thought Vrabel would be available to them. Number two, there are people in that building that thought Sala was their best option and the best they could do. But the reality is he had such a short leash that he was fired after 5 games. Ulbrich was clearly not ready for the job. I think the Jets have been a disaster since he took over. And, you know, we've talked about how it's a tough spot for him to be in, but Vrabel is just like so perfect for what they need. They need a culture starter. They need somebody who's going to hold people accountable, which the Jets do not do. They say the word accountability a lot, and they do not do anything about it. You know, Michael Clement, I mean, I'm not going to step on the toes yet, because I have a lot of thoughts about some of the things Ulbrich said today. But the point being, like, Vrabel, number one, he's going to hold guys accountable. You've heard there's many stories out there about the way he would do that. He'd call out stars in front of the entire room. Some of his former players have podcasts, and I was watching one clip the other day where there was a guy who was like a second round pick 1 year, and then the next year Vrabel cut him in front of the team because he basically didn't show up to training camp for like a couple of days. And so literally in the team meeting room, he walks in And he tries to sit down, and Vrabel's like, no, that's for guys on our team. And he did this in front of everybody. Like, and I'm not saying that's necessarily, but he's going to hold guys accountable, whether you're the top of the roster or the bottom, which this Jets team needs. I think Stars have gotten away with stuff for a long time here. And then the other thing is he's elite when it comes to time and game management, especially late in games. And that's been the 100% problem with the Jets. If you just plug somebody in who knows what they're doing in terms of timeouts and when to go forward and things like that, like the Jets win a few more games. So anyway, it's a long way of saying Mike Vrabel was quite clearly the guy the Jets should have hired last year. They made a mistake. Even if you weren't going to hire him, they should have hired Saleh. They potentially have a chance to hire Vrabel again, but they're competing now with, you know, there's going to be a bunch of openings. So yeah, I don't know. It's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out, because those interviews are going to start happening this week and next week, and when the season's officially over. And and Dan Botter you just put that comment on the screen about how he's skeptical that there'll be a change in the culture as long as the ownership is in place. And I think that's the concern that the Jets are going to have to overcome in these interviews. You know, that's why you have to talk to somebody like Ron Rivera and Rex Ryan, who knows Woody Johnson, because that's kind of the reputation of the team. And long before Diane and I wrote that story, people around the league knew that Woody was too involved. So, it's a problem that they're going to have to overcome for sure, both in the GM and head coaching search.
All right, let's move on to second down, which is getting into the actual game on Sunday, which I don't know if anybody really wants to revisit, but you know, it's in your recap story as well. But like the relationship between Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson, which really, when you look at it at this point, it probably doesn't matter anymore, right? Like Aaron Rodgers probably gone, but it is, in a sense, spoiling how Garrett, I think, thinks about this team. But it's falling apart. There's the Davante Adams factor and Aaron Rodgers obviously wanting to go to him for touchdown number 500. But then yesterday, Rodgers leaves the game, Tyrod Taylor comes in, and bam, Garrett Wilson touchdown. It's just, you want Garrett Wilson to be happy at this situation, Zach, because he's one of the guys that you want to stick around.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty predictable that would happen when Tyrod went in. Like, yeah, it was the most obvious thing that could be possibly happening. I mean, obviously that he was going against the Bills backups because it was a blowout. So that there's something to be said about that. But
oh yeah, it was garbage time. No doubt.
It was garbage time. But you know, that was Garrett Wilson's first red zone target since week 14. And I know everybody who's gotten mad about this whole storyline points to like Garrett having the third or fourth most targets in the NFL. It's accurate. He's gotten the ball a lot, but it's not about him getting the ball more. It's about the situations where he's getting the ball, the situations where he's not getting the ball. And it's about, you know, the way these two guys very clearly have, you know, kind of soured on each other. You know, the NFL Network had a report, and this was in light of like Connor Hughes and me and Rich Samini, and we're not the only people, but like the three of us have all reported stuff on Garrett Wilson's unhappiness. And then NFL Network comes in with their report, and now everybody's talking about it like it's a fact. But, you know, part of that report, which was new, though not surprising, was the idea that the Jets might have to choose between Aaron and Garrett for next year, which was kind of the root of my story after the game. Because the answer of who they should choose is pretty obvious to me. It's Garrett. Clearly, I know I think they're the people who are down on the team and things like that maybe think that he's exhibited some diva behavior because he gets all these targets and he's still not happy with it. But again, he wants to win. Like that's what he wants above all else. So
to me, that's young, not diva just, yeah, activity. I don't think just want to win.
Yeah. And it's not the same. You don't see him refusing to go in the game. You don't see him, you know, cursing people out in the game. You don't see him trashing anybody in the media. I mean, I think he's alluded to like unhappiness, but his quotes are always more about the frustration with the situation, less than anything specific about it. I mean, he definitely didn't like Hackett and he wasn't a huge fan of LaFleur, but which is, there's something to be said about that. But yeah, you know, the Aaron Garrett thing, it just seemed like the potential was so high there. Garrett just needed a good quarterback. Finally, he was producing without one. And, you know, in training camp, there were signs of this and they all downplayed it as they always do. They barked at each other. They got pretty animated. It blew up and they downplayed it. And that was part of the Ian Rappaport story on Sunday that, that was kind of it started there and they never really got that much closer. And then last week you have Garrett kind of, you know, saying, you know, I wish I got the ball more, but you know, it's, somebody doesn't think I should, or whatever the quote was specifically. And it's pretty clear that was directed at Aaron. And then when Aaron was kind of asked about if he's talked to Garrett about his frustrations, he's like, no, not in like a few weeks. So I think the two of them are pretty out on each other ultimately. And I mean, Aaron's challenged Woody Johnson to cut him essentially the last couple of weeks. Like, I don't think Aaron actually wants to be a Jet. You can do his quotes, like you can read his quotes where he says there's number one choice, or you can watch what he says and hear it and realize that he's really like hinting what he wants Woody Johnson to cut him. So he could say, well, Woody Johnson cut me. What do you want me to do? So it just become like a, not toxic, but I don't know. I can't think of the right word, but the two of them, it's just a marriage that didn't wind up working. The Aaron Rodgers Jets experiment failed. And we're sitting here now. Aaron Rodgers had the worst game he's had. I was looking it up. In terms of EPA per dropback, expected points added on True Media, it was his worst game since 2010, I believe. And it was the second worst game of any qualifying quarterback in the entire NFL this year that has played in a game and threw a certain amount of passes. I think it was something like 90 games. Or maybe it was more than that, but he was like second to last. And I think the worst was Andy Dalton had a really bad game for the Panthers. He was awful. The offensive line was kind of in shambles because of injuries. Carter Warren got a lot of playing time, did not look very good. Max Mitchell, but
the safety was, I mean,
safety
when you're
was
on
bad.
The 3 yard line,
the interceptions were bad.
Lineman, which is like not let your quarterback get sacked in the end zone. Yeah. And it wasn't even like you couldn't say Rodgers held onto it too long. He dropped back and got hit.
Yeah, he did. I mean, they got to the red zone and they tried to do a screen. He didn't see like the defensive lineman creep in, or he didn't get blocked and got tipped, picked. He was targeting Devontae Adams though, which kind of just felt perfect. Mm-hmm. And then his next interception, he was targeting Alan Lazard, terrible throw, picked off. And I think this league is so week to week. Like a week ago, I was like, I'm not so sure if he's going to come back. Now I feel like 100% certain or 90%. Like,
not come back.
Like again, I still fall back on whatever coach comes in or GM. If they say they want Aaron, like I could absolutely see him coming back. But it just seems like this is heading towards a divorce. And I'm very curious to see how Aaron talks about this team when it's all over.
Well, he won't hold back. We know that. Yeah. I'm sure we'll get a lot of stuff out of that. One quote from Wilson post game that maybe could encourage the fan base a little bit is, I think it's how you ended your story, where he said, it's frustrating, but it's going to make those good times coming down the road that much more enjoyable because we went through things like this. The positive I take of that is that in saying that quote, he's picturing himself in a Jets uniform in the future, which is different than him being like, well, I can't wait to demand a trade in the offseason.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he said that's the right thing to say. And what I've said is not that he's going to 100% demand a trade. I don't even know that he will. But my point was more, the feeling has always been both internally and among people close to him that if things didn't get better, he was not going to want to be a Jet long term. And so, you know, obviously money talks, and whoever they hire the next coach and whoever the new quarterback is, all that stuff will factor in. But, you know, he's a guy you build around ultimately. Like I don't care what anybody says. He's a guy that I want on my team. And I think a coach that comes in, maybe they'll get annoyed with how he wears his heart on his sleeve, or maybe they'll love it. I think Mike Vrabel would love him personally, just based on the way Mike Vrabel is. So, you know, it kind of reminds me of AJ Brown to a degree. AJ Brown had that kind of demeanor in Tennessee with the Eagles, a little diva-ish to a degree, but the guy just wants to win. He's extremely talented. He knows what he's capable of, and he wants the ball. Like, these are all attributes that are not bad things as long as they're productive and as long as you're performing. And Garrett performs. He fumbled the ball away. It was bad, but he owned it. He said, that was bad. I need to be better. I need to hold on to the ball. And he's not going to be perfect, but effort is never an issue with Garrett Wilson. Like, I can say that much.
All right, third down. Oh, speaking of that, good transition. Penalties and turnovers, overall mistakes, just awful. 16 penalties, 120 yards.
Unreal.
Clearly, to me, that's just a sign of a team that's checked out, right? Like, not paying any attention to the details. Just brutal. The three turnovers, obviously, you just talked about we basically mentioned them all. The Garrett Wilson fumble and then the two picks by Aaron Rodgers. It was 40-0 And that felt like the score should have been. The 14 points at the end kind of ruined how the score should have felt.
Ah, man, it was, the penalties are just brutal. Like, this is such an undisciplined team anyway. But yeah, the checked out thing, Jeff Ulbrich said, and actually Sauce Gardner had a very interesting quote where he says, I mean, people must be checked out because, you know, our roster is better. And we were close with the Bills earlier in the season. And now you look at the score and we go down 40-0. So clearly, maybe guys aren't trying their hardest anymore. And you have DJ Reed being like, I kind of just a week ago, I finally just accepted that this is how the season is. Like, this is how the season went. And then he still was blown away by at the effort and the way the team played. Like, and then Jeff Ulbrich comes out and says, you know, I watched the tape. I didn't see any sign of guys not giving their full effort. It's just like, man, he can't get out of his own way. And with the penalties, like, I cannot stop watching this Michael Clemens clip. Go to my Twitter if you haven't seen it. The way he, like, there's like a pile, a guy's like in the process of getting tackled for progress. And Michael Clemens, and you're not gonna be able to see me do it. He jumps into the air with both his arms up, like he's going to like belly flop or something. I've seen a lot of funny GIFs like referencing what he was doing. And he just jumps onto the pile and gets called for unnecessary roughness. And I've never seen anything like it. It's hilarious. And it's kind of the image of the season for me. And then Ulbrich, again, like he said, he needs to contain himself, but he also just like hyped up Michael Clemens again for his effort. He's one of the hardest working players I've ever coached. You know, the level of strain and effort he gives, he just needs to throttle it back sometimes. He has had a bad season, and the fans are as against Michael Clemens as any player I can remember in recent years. And I think the problem is less with Clemens than it is with the way Joe Douglas kind of destroyed the defensive line and made it so Michael Clemens had to play as much as he does. Like, Clemens is probably fine if he's your fourth or fifth defensive end. Like, right. If he's not playing much, sub him in on run downs and you play him on special teams or something. You can live with that, but playing every down or most of them, disaster. Like, this guy, like, I'm trying not to be mean, especially because he could hurt me. He's a very scary man, but like, he doesn't play like somebody who has any concern with like doing things the right way or playing with any sort of discipline. And it's been mind-blowing to see him constantly get so many snaps and hear Jeff Ulbrich talk about him like he's this superstar when everybody with eyes sees that he does not belong out there as much as he plays. And the problem is, like, I don't know, at this point, they probably should just play guys like Eric Watts and Brady McGregor and Leonard Taylor and see what they have. But none of these guys are probably good enough to play as much as Clemens is either. So it's just a mess. Like, oh, and Dano Jets just brought something up that I'm mad I forgot to put in my game story. I saw this after the game. There's a video of the Jets walking into the stadium with one of the staffers holding a boombox on his shoulder, and they're blasting Gangster's Paradise as if like there's some gangsters walking onto the field. And there's an amazing photo of Josh Allen just standing in the background staring, kind of smirking like, are they really doing this right now? And then they go out there and go down 40-0. It's like, this team, man, like, just be normal for like 5 minutes. That's all I ask. Just be normal. I hope the next coach just can bring some sense of normalcy to this organization, because it's just, they do shit every day, every week that just I've never heard of or seen before. And like, I was talking with the other writers yesterday, like, we're going to look back at this season and we're going to forget things that happened that would have been like the most insane thing that happened on any other season. And they're going to do a documentary about this team one day. And it's just like thing after thing, like just absolutely bonkers stuff. Weird stuff, stupid stuff. Like the Aaron Rodgers red line thing with Mike Williams feels like a lifetime ago. Like, and that was like a storyline for like a few days that all anybody could talk about. And that's just like a footnote now, because there's just been so much stuff. And I don't know. I would say the best part about this season is going to be that it will end a week from now.
One more week. One more thing on Ulbrich today and his comments is, he was asked, but I don't know. I don't think you asked him, but somebody asked him about Hassan Reddick, and he praised Hassan Reddick. And he basically said like, yeah, it's been tough because, you know, he didn't get fully acclimated. Like, yeah, Jeff, cause he held out. Like,
well, not only that,
not like he was injured and came back late. Like,
not only that, but Ulbrich speaks in such hyperbole, and it's not a good look. And like, and I get it. He wants to be positive for his team, but I just think he's hurt his stock as much as any interim coach I can think of. And again, like, I want to emphasize, he was thrown into an impossible situation for sure. But like, saying Hassan Reddick is one of the best teammates he's ever coached, and he's one of the most unselfish guys he's ever, like, the guy purely held out for money. Like, that,
it's the opposite of unselfish. What he did is,
and we didn't bring up the, maybe the one of the worst post-game quotes I've heard from a coach. I asked him how he thought Aaron Rodgers played, and he said, I need to watch the tape because I didn't really watch the offense. I was focused on defensive adjustments. Like,
you snuck that, like, quote
in. Even if that's true, don't say it, man.
Right.
Say, like, I need to watch the tape. End it there. End the quote. Like, man, it's like, Jeff's a great guy, like, legitimately great guy. I think he was a really good defensive coordinator. I'm very curious to see where he lands next, but I mean, he ultimately, and a lot of this falls on Woody Johnson, ultimately, because of the way things are around the Jets and Aaron Rodgers and all that stuff. He might not get a head coaching interview unless the Jets interview him. So it's just a disaster. Like, it feels like a lifetime ago that Robert Saleh was even the coach, and Robert Saleh would put his foot in his mouth constantly. But I long for the days of Saleh press conferences at this point. Like, that's where we're at.
Yeah. Well, with Saleh, you just had to worry about, like, a hangnail becoming a season ending injury and that sort of thing. Like, this is,
or Saleh would make bold declarations like receipts, or we're going to see the Bills in the playoffs, or things like that. But that was good for us. Like, that was entertaining. Like, I don't even coach up my stories usually, because it's all literally hyperbolic. We tried our hardest, like, all that stuff. So,
like, calling Reddick unselfish in a situation where you know you're gone, you know Reddick's gone, like, there's no reason to do it. Like, you're not like saving a relationship with this guy. You're not trying to smooth things over so he's part of the team. Like, there's no reason to just, like, say something so ridiculous. But all right, fourth down. We're going to go outside the Jets organization. Sam Darnold is 14-2, Zach.
My
14-2, 33 of 43 yesterday, 377 yards, 3 touchdowns. They beat the Packers, held on to beat the Packers. Now, this is a big if. If they go into Detroit and beat the Lions next week, although Detroit's all banged up.
They are.
Yeah, Monday Night Football. They not only win the NFC North, but they will be the top seed in the NFC for the playoffs at 15-2. So it brings up so many questions, right? Like, first of all, let us know in the comment section, how do you feel about Sam Darnold right now? Like, are you excited that this guy is in this situation, has this opportunity? Are you bitter about it? But my question for you, Zach, is there any way, if the Jets had held on to Sam Darnold, that he becomes this? Or is it just because of his current head coach and what that guy does with quarterbacks?
It's probably the latter, but it's clear that he had this talent in him the whole time is the issue. The Jets just haven't had the infrastructure. I mean, you have to remember, he played for two other teams before he even landed with the Vikings. Like, he was not good with the Panthers. Ultimately, he started off well, and I think people thought it was heading that way with the Vikings, because he had that bad game against the Jets this season in London, and it felt like, okay, is he going to do the thing he did in Carolina where he starts playing poorly? But look at his numbers. He has like 3,700 yards passing, I think like 33 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. Like, that would be the best passing season in the Jets history. and he's doing it. Like, it's become to the point where the Vikings cannot let him leave this offseason. He's going to be a free agent. And whether you franchise tag him or give him a long-term deal with like a 4-year deal where it's actually a 2-year deal and he gets like $30 million a year or something like that, they cannot let him go. You don't know what JJ McCarthy is. Your hope is that JJ McCarthy is as good as Sam Darnold has been this year. And so they put themselves in an interesting spot now. But you know, the post-game locker room scene, like, Darnold, I don't think he's ever been known for like having like this fun personality, but it was just like hilarious seeing him come into that locker room, seeing how much the Vikings love him. He gets sprayed with champagne. He gets lifted up by some teammates' shoulders, and he's kind of like dancing on his teammates' shoulders. Like, it's just one of the coolest stories I can remember, because he's a good dude. Like, nobody ever like questioned Sam Darnold's work ethic or his demeanor. And I don't know. It's such a cool story. And it felt like this was possible. I don't know that I thought it was possible he would be this good, but you put a quarterback with talent in Kevin O'Connell's system and you just watch what happens. And this is what's happening. Like, Kevin O'Connell, I think one of the craziest things is that the Vikings, I'm getting sidetracked here, he's another former Jets quarterback, so it still ties to it, but he's in the last year of his contract and they haven't signed him to a new one still. Kevin O'Connell.
The price tag is just going up and up.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Vikings, I don't know what they were waiting for. Maybe they wanted to see that he could do this again. But, I mean, this will be the second time in 3 years he's won at least 14 games, I think. As I think they won a couple years ago when they lost pretty early in the playoffs. They won like a bunch of games. I can't remember if it was 14 or 13 or 12, but it was a lot of wins. He's a great coach. And, yeah, I don't know. It's bravo for Sam Darnold. He deserves a round of applause. And it's going to be fascinating to watch him in the playoffs and see how he handles that pressure.
Yeah, and everybody in the chat is excited, obviously, for Sam Darnold. I don't think anybody really had hard feelings towards him. If you're Darnold, I mean, obviously you want to get as much money as you can. But I feel like that situation with that coach, with Justin Jefferson, I would just want to stay. And I know it's a tough situation with JJ McCarthy, but like you said, people have learned in the NFL, right? Rookie quarterbacks, and he's not even it's not like he was the number one pick or the number two pick. You know, he was a first rounder, but I think a lot of people considered it's going to take a couple of years. So I don't know. I feel like Darnold's 28, I think. It's not like he's even older. Yeah. By today's NFL quarterback standards, he could play another 10 years at a high level.
I mean, by the way, to tie it back to Darnold, Aaron Rodgers' QBR was the Jets' worst since Sam Darnold's I'm seeing ghosts.
Seeing ghosts.
And I think it was 2020 or 2021, or the beginning of the year 2021. And so that means Aaron Rodgers had a worse game than Zach Wilson did at any point with the Jets, by the way, in terms of QBR. So there you go. Tie it back to Darnold.
And it's credit to Darnold also, and I guess the coaching staff, after that game, and I feel like that was the end for Darnold, for the Jets, right? You're playing your arch rival and you admit to seeing ghosts out there. It's tough to keep you around at that point, the way things were going. But I think as far as the league goes, I think a lot of people were probably well, this, with that quote, this guy's never going to make it. So, but he got his swagger back. He got it all back, and now he's the guy that we saw at USC coming into the draft. Good for him. Mm-hmm. All right, closing thoughts before we say goodbye.
Just one more, and then we get fun pods on. This is my first coaching search as part of a podcaster with you. So
yeah,
we'll really embrace that. We'll look at their quarterback options. We'll probably do some full, depending on once they start interviewing these candidates, we can do pods where we. Whether we bring on athletic writers that cover these coaches or whatever it is. But I've never really covered a coaching search actually, because I kind of just missed it each time I switched beats. I left the Eagles a year before Doug Peterson was fired.
Oh, and left the Judge.
I left the Giants right after Judge was fired. But it was during the coaching search, I think. And so now this is my first one. I'm just very intrigued to see how it goes. And who the coach is, because who they hire is going to impact my day-to-day life, and how I'm gonna have to write a story about this person and all that stuff. So, and I do have a story I'm working on, and we've kind of alluded to it on here. It's still a secret. I can't say what it is. It's tied to coaching, I would say, and it's going to come out. I'm hoping later this week. If not, it'll be sometime next week. Some people in the Discord in Badlands know what it is. I mean, not some people. Will Parkinson specifically knows. And Steven Zanz, who also does a pod, I tip them off. But if you're in the Discord, I'll tease it before it comes out, specifically what it's about. But anyway, it's a story I'm really, really excited about. I've been working on it for months. It doesn't really have anything to do with the Jets. And I hope everybody reads it. I'm really excited about this one. I haven't worked on a story like this before where I've reported on it for in this way, where I've had to fly places and meet with certain people and interview a lot of different interesting people for this story. So I'm really excited to get it out there, and I hope you guys listen or read, unless you listen to stories.
Yeah. So depending on the timing on that, we'll either come back this week and talk about that, or our other idea for later this week is to just look ahead since it is New Year's Day on Wednesday, do a little bit of a New Year's resolution episode with the Jets going forward, look into the future. So either way, we'll be back later this week with an episode on Thursday. Enjoy New Year's Eve. Be responsible. Got to throw that in there. Enjoy your New Year's. And we will talk to everybody again soon as the Jets head to the finish line here in the 2024 season.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.